6:04 in the Fast Lane. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Brad Barnes, Brad Thompson, Chris Ronji, Randy Carricker. And we've got, with all due respect, coming up in a moment, sending your text to the Hot Shots text line at 65780. Before we get to "with all due respect," people make bad decisions all the time. Some of those people deserve a second chance. The others, well, they deserve all the wrath the world has to offer. Last week, a video surfaced of a Texas woman doing some disturbing stuff. While at a grocery store, she opened a tub of ice cream, licked the top of it, and then placed it back on the shelf and left. Now, a man in Louisiana has been arrested after doing the same. He was charged with criminal mischief and unlawful posting of criminal activity for notoriety and publicity, and remained jailed as of this morning, as he should be.
I don't think so, Randy. I think we should kill him.
Just death penalty?
I feel like that's a great way to, if people are like, you know what, I should stop licking stuff. Did you hear about that guy in Texas? They killed him. So I feel like that makes sense. He's in Texas, right? Oh, no, Louisiana. Louisiana. I say just go for it.
Yeah, I'm with you. There are odds on the home run derby. You can actually get involved in a poll as to who you think is going to win the home run derby.
Yeah.
With all due respect, nobody cares.
The players do now.
Yeah, the player,
for
a million.
This one means something. But now it means something. That's right.
I still am interested by the home run derby because, especially now, you get a lot of young stars in the game that just get to unleash the fury. Like, I want to see how far Josh Bell can hit a baseball. I think that he hits one 500 feet. Like, I think it's going to happen tonight.
I think the last time I really cared about the home run derby is when McGuire was hitting them like 400 feet past the big monster.
Mm-hmm.
That was it for me. Yeah.
By the way, Bell is the favorite, and Pete Alonso is second.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's pretty good. All right, so we've talked about this in the past, Tiger Woods and what it takes for him to get ready for tournaments. I mean, he wakes up early, he's got a great routine, and apparently Tiger Woods gets up at 1 a.m. to prepare for the Open Championship. This is at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland. With all due respect, I'd wake up at 1 a.m. too to play all these courses that Tiger plays. I'll wake up any time to play any of these courses. By the way, the 1 a.m. is really his time. It's 6 a.m. their time.
Was he Mark Wahlberg?
It's fine. Yeah, kind of. It takes a ton of prep, but I'll wake up crazy early to play any of these courses.
Oh, me too.
I won't sleep.
I bet he's got a pretty intense workout regimen, don't you think?
Who, Mark Wahlberg?
Well, we know Marky Mark does.
It's pretty
good. I mean Tiger.
Yeah, it takes him a while to get ready.
Pretty impressive, man.
Yeah, it is.
Getting up at 1 in the morning for that? So, guys, you know, the 4th of July just happened, and we all celebrated, and I believe we all here in this room celebrated safely, did we not?
We did.
You all seem to be intact. Well, a DeSoto man was not so lucky. He was making fireworks in a garage when one of them ignited and blew off his hand.
Ouch.
According to the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office, a spokesperson for the office said it happened around 9:15 on Saturday. They said he was making fireworks in the garage of a home when one of them went off and blew off most of his left hand. He also suffered some injuries to his torso. He is expected to survive. With all due respect to this person, you should have been listening to the show on Wednesday. We would have told you not to do this.
With all due respect.
I mean, we did tell people not to blow off their fingers.
No, I distinctly remember tell people to not do that.
Yeah, we absolutely did.
Yeah, we said don't be in your place making Nipsey Daisies, Whisker Biscuits, Hoosker Do's, Hoosker Don'ts, with or without the scooter sticks, the whistling kitty chaser, the finger blasters, zippity doo-dahs, whistling bungholes. We said don't make
We mentioned every single one of those.
Yeah. Gut busters, crap blasters.
No.
Snakes and sparklers. That's where it's safe.
Yep.
Gotta hand it to this guy, though, huh?
No, you didn't.
What?
No, you didn't.
I'm sorry.
Somebody local who might text. Well, call. Well,
gonna have to learn to use his other hand.
Yeah.
Can you do that trick with the other hand? I don't know. I've never tried. Better learn.
Big Sis, what do you got for us?
With all due respect, I would care about the home run derby if they used metal bats.
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh.
Those poor kids in the outfield.
Too.
Just running away from missiles.
Up everywhere. Could you imagine, though, if they let him do that? And now the bats are a little bit safer than they used to be, even the metal bats. But give them a throwback. Give them an old school like Z-Core and let them go crazy.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
With all due respect to LeBron, you are now an afterthought in Los Angeles.
Except with all due respect.
I disagree with that still. LeBron's still the biggest star in the game. He might not be the best player. He's the biggest star.
With all due respect, the $1 million prize in the Home Run Derby should be donated to charity.
It very well might be.
Yeah, it depends on how much the dude makes. But you were going over the guys who were involved, and they're not all like...
Yeah, Pete Alonso, Vlad Guerrero Jr. both make the minimum. Matt Chapman makes barely above it, as does Josh Bell. Alex Bregman makes $640,000, so the $1 million is well above what he makes. Ronald Acuna Jr. makes just at $1 million, and then Peterson makes $5 million, and Carlos Santana makes $17 million. He probably doesn't need it.
Yeah, it isn't Giancarlo Stanton taking... swings out here with his 30 plus million a season. It's not him.
What's the cutoff though? Like at the point where you should automatically donate it?
Whenever you want. That's the cutoff.
Whatever your tax guy says.
Whatever you feel like doing.
You need to donate 500,000 so we can break even. Okay.
With all due respect, if the Cardinals don't make a major trade to make the playoffs this year, it'll cost Mozeliak his job.
Leave it.
Yeah, if this were take it or leave it, I was just about to say it, too. And I was like, oh, it's with all due respect.
He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, but he ain't going anywhere. Where does stuff run?
Down.
Downhill. He's pretty high up on that mountain.
Yes, he is.
And with all due respect, the players signing the balls that they're hitting out of the park is the coolest addition to any All-Star weekend in a long time.
What? That's happening?
So they're autographing the
baseballs
first? They
autographed all their balls, and then they're going to hit them? That's cool.
That is very cool.
That's really cool.
I did not know about that. Did you?
I didn't have any idea.
Did you know about that?
I did not. Learn something new every day.
Is that real?
Who knows?
That's actually a brilliant idea.
It is.
Souvenir City.
That's really awesome.
Allegedly.
Thanks, Mixes.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line 65780. Next up, the Cardinals, just like every other team, have made some bad decisions in their time. But in the 1970s, they may have made their worst. We'll talk about that and more from the 70s Redbirds next on 101 ESPN.
Come and knock on our door. We've been waiting for you. This is our hers and hers and his three's company too.
Yeah. Hey, we want to hear from you with the mic drop feature on the 101 ESPN app. We do. We want to know if you could change one rule in baseball, what would it be? For example, yesterday Jake Marisnyk bowled over the catcher for the Angels, Jonathan Lucroy, and the run was taken off the board. Would you like to see that run put back up on the board? Would you like to see the rule change so that a runner can bowl over a catcher again? You can only change one rule, written or unwritten.
You know, maybe in that moment, just like Three's Company, it was just one big misunderstanding, you know?
Oh, it might be.
Yeah.
So we want to hear from you. Mic drop feature with the 101 ESPN app, and you will be in the next segment on 101 ESPN.
Or can we expand it a tiny bit for people? If in fact you don't have a rule that you want to change back, if you do, great. You can also make up your own rule. Like, what do you want to see? What do you want to see in this game? They're always changing.
Add something.
Did you see some of the rule changes? I'm going to have to find the story again that they're doing in the Atlantic League again for the second half. And I don't know if all these went through, but there was some crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. Like the pitcher has to step off the mound before he picks over. So basically you're taking away the running game. He has to step totally off. Foul ball, like bunting with two strikes, you actually get two chances. If you foul one off, you get another chance. There was another asinine one. It was crazy. Oh, any pitch you could take first base. So if a catcher boxes one or he throws one to the backstop, you can just drop the bat and run. It's unbelievable. I'm not making this crap up. This is real.
Oh, my God, that would be funny.
There were some things that happened in the 70s with the Cardinals, and you have to remember, they had won the World Series in 64 and 67, been to the World Series in 68, and then changed to the playoff system in 69. At that point, up until 1969, the winner of the league, there were eight teams in the league, and the winner of the league went to the World Series. They instituted a playoff in 1969, and Cardinal ownership didn't like what they saw in 1969, so they started to disassemble the team. In 1971, Steve Carlton was still a member of the team. He went 20-9 with an earned run average of 3.56 and decided that he wanted a raise. He asked the Cardinals for a salary of $65,000. The Cardinals balked. They wanted to give him $60,000, and he held out. But a solution was found when the Phillies offered to send their own holdout pitcher, Rick Wise, to the Cardinals in exchange for Carlton. Dan McLaughlin told the story on the air a couple of weeks ago that Carlton was actually on his way in to accept the Cardinal offer when the Cardinals tracked him down and said, "You have been traded to Philadelphia for Rick Wise."
I had a feeling that this one pisses off a lot of fans. Just the more times you hear it, you think about it, maybe even more so than angry about it because it was so long ago, mm-hmm. but sadness, like knowing what it could have looked like if, in fact, you were able to keep
right.
it.
Right, no doubt about it. The year that he got traded February 25th of 1972. He went to the Phillies. They finished 59-97. They won 59 games. He won 27.
Is that good?
That's awesome.
Yeah, 27-10 with a 1.97.
And they finished in second the following two seasons after that, right?
Right.
Like they were, I mean, he could have, I guess, been the difference at least one of those times.
There's no doubt that he could have.
It's the kind of thing that when it happens in your organization, sometimes it's like it's the beginning of a tailspin that lasts decades. They were fortunate that it did not work out that way. They went to three World Series. They won one the following decade. And then, of course, the World Series now. But that is the kind of thing that you could still have. Like BT said, you still probably have some people who were alive and remember that all vividly that are upset about it. But if all the success in the last 40 years didn't happen, that's the kind of thing that a fan base would probably dwell on.
I would say losing
out on a player like that.
I dwell on it anyway.
Yeah, still, even so, well, you look too. I mean, you look at the gap between losing the World Series in 68 and then winning it in 82. A lot of a drought in between. Randy, were there expectations throughout that that area? Because, I mean, when you go back-to-back World Series, I would have to think that even, you know, a year later in 1970, people still think, okay, well, we're okay.
Absolutely.
Even though there's a transition. Was there an enormous letdown during that period?
That they didn't win?
Yeah.
Yes, because, number one, you did have the 60s. And you had some pretty talented teams. Ted Simmons was great. Hernandez, you had Torrey win an MVP. Hernandez came up, and he was great. You never really found a shortstop until late in the decade with Gary Templeton, but you were good at second base. You had a lot of good outfielders. Bake McBride won a Rookie of the Year. Reggie Smith was an MVP quality player. Of course, you had Brock still in his prime for a lot of that decade. The problem that they ran into, for the most part, was that aside from Al Roboski, they really didn't have much of a bullpen in any year. And that is what Whitey changed when he came in 1980. He completely changed the bullpen, made it good, and that's why they started winning.
And then you go straight to World Series? You go to 3 in 7 years?
Yeah,
3
showed
in 6 years.
In 80, in a midseason of 80, made a bunch of trades in that offseason. 1981, they had the best record in the strike season, but they didn't make the playoffs because they had that stupid mm-hmm. split season. And then in 82, they win the World Series. 83, you had some injuries that prevented you from getting back. 84 was just one of those weird years. Suter saved 45 games, but nothing came together. George Hendrick was on the downside. But then you trade for Clark in 85, win 101 games. 86, Clark gets hurt. So you don't win, and the Mets were awesome that year anyway. Then in 87, Clark comes back, and you were great again. After 87, Clark leaves as a free agent. In the collusion era, he was the only guy that moved. Nobody was moving, and Steinbrenner said, well, I'm going to sign a guy. And he took Jack Clark, and then the Cardinals were not good after that.
Now, Red Schoendienst, his first couple of years as manager went quite well, went very, very mm-hmm. well. Obviously, I mean, Red, it was Vern Rapp that ended up taking over after Red left. Was there a lot of heat on Red, or was it more so this was on management, but we're just going to make a change because we're going to make a change?
The heat came from the top, from Gussie Bush, okay. who was intensely competitive, the owner. And
but still didn't really know what he was doing with the team, did he?
No, he was a fan.
Yeah.
He was a fan that happened to own the team. And Red was still a good manager, and as a matter of fact, only spent a couple of years away before he came back as a coach. But then they hired Vern Rapp because it was the classic, still happens today. Red was the consummate player's manager. Vern Rapp was an idiot.
We'll bring the other guy.
Everybody hated him. Al Hrabowski's whole identity was that beard, and he made them all shave their beards and mustaches and stuff. And he tried to be a drill sergeant, and all the players hated him. And so Al comes back from the All-Star break in 77, I guess. Maybe it was 76, with a full beard. Al can grow a beard faster than we can.
Well, certainly
and
faster than I can.
So you have the owner of a franchise that calls a press conference because Al wants to wear his beard, and the manager is saying no. And he comes on live radio.
This really happened?
Gussie Bush, Al, to say I'm disappointed in you would be an understatement. But you can wear your beard, but your dadgum better well perform.
This was a press conference.
Yeah, with the owner of the team.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've always had drama.
And then ultimately, they fired Vern Rapp, hired Ken Boyer, who was the classic player's manager again, but he just didn't have enough in the bullpen to win with.
As imperfect as it can be, I would rather, over what some of the other alternatives are, I would rather have an owner who is just a fan.
Yeah.
You know, taking control of the team because you know he's going to go with his heart lot of times.
And was willing to spend money.
Yes, that's
it. Gave Lou Brock, gave his favorite players money, took care of guys. And not only was he a fan, but he allowed Bing Devine to do what he needed to do to try to win. And then when Whitey came, he said, Whitey, you just take over. And Whitey did and did everything. Whitey had 100% complete control. It was perfect for fans because Whitey knew what to do.
And with all that goes into the off-field stuff, being a manager and being a general manager, how in the world would you like to do both of those jobs?
I don't think that I would like that.
I think it would be miserable.
First order of business, I will give myself an extension because I believe as a manager I deserve it. That's where I'd go.
Now, one thing that did happen during the 70s, when you talk about Gussie being a fan, he did offer Jack Buck the general manager's job, and Jack turned it down.
How do you think that would have changed things if in fact he did take it? Do you think that he would have thrived in doing so?
No, I think he probably Jack knew what his limitations were. He knew that he was so well liked in town that there was no way that if he took that job, he could have done well enough to remain well liked.
You can't get more popular than he already was.
Right.
But that had to be a very difficult thing to turn down when somebody's giving you an opportunity like that. Even though you're on top of the world doing what you're doing and Jack loved his gig, that had to be tough.
But he knew, and I don't know if he utilized it much. I know he did in one scenario. He knew that he still had power even though he wasn't the GM. He had dinner with Rapp one night, and Rapp told him that he thought that Ted Simmons was a loser. Jack knew that Gussie loved Ted Simmons, so he went on the air with it. I was talking to Vern Rapp, and he said that he thinks Ted Simmons is a loser.
Oh, perfect.
And Rapp was fired within a week.
Yep.
So it worked.
Ted Simmons was, I don't believe, a loser.
No.
Very much not.
Yeah. Hmm. So Jack got
That's
it.
Awesome.
He might not have had to swing the hatchet, but he got the manager fired anyway.
But it worked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's the Fastlane on 101 ESPN. Hey, we've got a rule change that we don't like in baseball. You might have a rule change that you don't like in baseball, a rule that you don't like in baseball. If you'd like to change it, we'd like to hear from you. Use the mic drop feature right now with the 101 ESPN app, and we'll tell you what we don't like, and we want to hear what you don't like next on 101 ESPN. That was The Immaculate Reception by Franco Harris. 70s Week on 101 ESPN. Well, we heard earlier that Jonathan Lucroy, the Angels catcher, got run over by Jake Mariznick of the Astros. And that's a rule that was changed and was violated by Jake Mariznick yesterday. You cannot bowl over a catcher anymore, and a catcher has to provide a lane for the runner, which Lucroy appeared to be doing. Home plate appeared to be there for the taking for Mariznick, but he decided to bowl over Lucroy anyway. And that gave us the idea, what would you like to see change? What would we like to see changed among baseball rules? You can send us a mic drop with the 101 ESPN app. Guys, I would like to see a rule that's already in place be emphasized, and that is call the strike zone as it is in the book. I think most of the problems that you have with pace of play would end with that.
You know what? I was thinking about this the other day, because I really do agree with you, and we've hit on this so many times. But do you think that the TV broadcasts could actually help with that and actually put the strike zone? You know that little K zone?
Yeah.
Could we put the big league K zone on it? Because
be
the top
smart.
Of that strike zone is like maybe the belt. Because the rule is it's the letters, right? Or the hollow or under the armpit?
Under your armpit to the hollow of your knee.
Which is crazy that is what it is, because anybody that gets a strike called anywhere near that vicinity is barking at the umpire right off the bat. But that's the thing. I do wonder, though, as a viewer, if we saw it more and more and players go back and look and say, oh, well, I was in that little box. Maybe that would speed some stuff up.
I think one thing it would do is it would prevent hitters from getting to keyhole as much as they do. And just waiting for that little, if it's not right here, I'm not going to swing at it. And while the walk is useful, I mean, if you walk a lot, your team and your offense are probably pretty good because you're constantly getting on base. But it isn't necessarily more fun to watch than guys actually swinging the bat and making contact.
And that's what the strike zone, as it is in the book, would allow people to do, or force people to do, swing the bat and not try to walk as much and put the ball in play more.
I love it. That's pace of play. That's action. That's a lot of stuff that goes into it. I mentioned this one that I would like to see a little bit earlier, and mine is just involving plays around the base at second, because I love watching. I don't love watching a guy getting blown up and get hurt and coming out bleeding and limp, and I don't necessarily love that part of it. I love watching great footwork. I love watching a bad feed cost you a double play. There's no fear anymore. There is, my back is totally turned to the play, and I'll just turn and burn. I feel like we're missing out on a lot of things that make the position so intricate up the middle. There's still great glove work. There's still great athletes, but we're missing something there, and I want it back.
And I'm in the same region with you, around second base, the play there. And I guess the play at first or at third when it comes to like a pickoff play or something, a guy sliding back into the bag. I want to continue with the use of replay, and I'm not exactly sure how to define this. But I want to get rid of, you know, a guy running into second on a slide because he, or sliding into second on a stolen base, for example, beats the throw, beats the tag, but maybe his hand comes off for like a tenth of a second and he gets tagged out. Any other time in history leading up to the last few years when replay's been a part of it, players just kind of accepted what the call was. They got up and they ran off the field. If they felt like the play, or you know, if he felt like he was safe and he got into the bag and the tag wasn't there, nobody ever complained about it. Now we're breaking it down at a molecular level. We're stopping play for it. I want replay to be a part of it, and I don't know how to legislate what we're talking about out of it while keeping replay, but that used to be fine with me. I never had a problem with the way that was called.
How about if they just use common sense? If momentum carries you off the bag for a tenth of a second, then you don't get called out. Because people are going to get hurt. If you're trying to stay in contact with the bag the entire time, when your momentum is carrying you, you're going to get hurt. So inevitably, that's going to happen. Be logical about it. Just have umpires use common sense.
Or, and the other way is true, too. If you're a defensive player and the throw's coming down to second, and the throw beats the runner, and the tag used to beat the runner, but maybe like his leg was sort of up in the air and he kind of got around it a little bit, even though he didn't try to. Like he slid into the tag, but maybe the glove didn't actually touch him. Call him out. Because players used to just get up and run back off the field because they accepted it. And I think it kept the game moving.
Yeah, replay, by the way, takes too long. There was a play this weekend where they looked at it. The call was out. They looked at it for, it felt like 5 minutes. Maybe it wasn't that long. But it was a long time. And they come back and like, oh, yeah, he's still out.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Why would it take that long? If it's that close, just keep the call. Just do it. Get
it was
over
a play
with.
At second base, right?
Was it at second? I don't remember. I think it was DeYoung. Or it could have been a Bang Bang Munoz at first. I don't remember. You might be right.
Either way, it took way too long. Yep.
Let's get to Jason with a mic drop on 101 ESPN.
Yeah, the rule that I would change is a shift. I hate where it's all or nothing at this point. It's really boring. There's no excitement. There's no base running. Baseball thinks that it's getting more entertaining with the long ball, but to me it's not. Turned off most of the games because they're really boring, because it's all about hitting that air ball, you know? That's what I would change, and I would change it to where everybody has to play their position.
Mike Schilt would say, watch his Cardinals.
Yeah. Take that. The thing is, I don't think that changing the shift is going to take away from people's approach. Now, it will add some more hits, but even those hits that end up going into the shift, they're still trying to go Yahtzee on most of those. So I don't think that it even provides more of a balanced hitter. It's just going to result in more hits because there's not five guys on that side of the infield. I was telling you guys a little bit ago about the Atlantic League, which is a very highly thought of independent league. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys go there and play and make it back to the big leagues or to the big leagues from it.
Then what else happens to other guys?
Some guys give up 11 runs in the first inning, Randy, and then end up on the radio for the last 5 years. Thanks for asking. So they've been in collaboration with Major League Baseball, and they implemented some new rules at the beginning of the season. So beginning of the season, they started automated balls and strikes, and apparently it's gone pretty well. There hasn't been much of a beef there. They also have no mound visits. They have a 3-batter minimum for relievers. They've increased base sizes as well, so you don't run into Manny Machado breaking somebody's ankle. And apparently all those things have gone pretty well. They've also reduced their time between innings to 145. So all of that is going well. But in the second half, what they're set to implement are pretty interesting rules. And we actually got a text message about one of these. First one is, pitchers will now be required to step off the rubber when attempting a pickoff. So step off, not the jump turn. You stepping back off and obviously I'm picking off. Now, I would assume that this is just to stop anybody slowing down the running game and speed up the process, like let people steal and go crazy.
I don't know. We have a texter who said the exact same thing. They want to see that happen.
Yeah, I know. There's another one. One foul bunt with two strikes is permitted before a strikeout is called. So you get two chances at that. You foul the one off, it's not a strikeout anymore. This one I feel like is very intriguing. It says batters are allowed to, quote-unquote, steal first base on any pitch not caught in flight. In short, the drop third strike rule extends to the entire at-bat. How do you guys feel about that?
That would be hilarious.
Yeah. They went a little further into this one. It says the catcher fails to catch any pitch and the batter immediately chooses to become a runner. The batter shall be deemed to have chosen to become a runner under this rule if both of the batter's feet leave the batter's box or the batter in the umpire's judgment demonstrates or otherwise creates an impression of his intent to advance to first base.
Huh. Hmm.
So first one, a guy unleashes a fastball, goes to the backstop. It would be a 1-0 count. That guy can then drop his bat and go. I'm interested.
I'd like to see it in action.
I don't want to watch it in the big leagues, but I kind of want to see it here.
I want to see how it works in an actual game situation.
Yeah, and
that
then
would be interesting.
The other one there is the check swing rule now becomes what they call more batter friendly, and they go into explaining a little bit more. And basically, it's going to be the judgment of a field umpire, and if in fact the batter doesn't roll his wrists over, it's a ball. So if there's none of that, if the hands are back and it looks like he might have crossed the plane, doesn't matter. If the hands are back, they're back. If he rolls the wrist over, then in fact it would be a strike. So trying to create more offense with
that.
I'm
not even sure they've even clearly defined that for umpires.
No,
they don't say roll the wrist. It's just, do you think he swung at it?
Well, and maybe that's their intent here in the Atlantic League, is the roll the wrist is the, I don't know, the next thing. But I'm intrigued by these rules. At some point during the second half, I'm going to maybe see if we can get old Brett Jody back on again, the manager of the Somerset Patriots, and see how these rules are going.
Love it. It's the Fastlane on 101 ESPN. We are headed down the stretch, and we need your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780, for a game of Would You Rather. Would you rather come your way on 101 ESPN? It's time for a little game of Would You Rather as we head down the stretch towards the Home Run Derby here on 101 ESPN. The Major League Home Run Derby tonight at Progressive Field in Cleveland, and you'll hear it here on 101 ESPN. But before that, get your text into the Hot Shots text line, 65780, for Would You Rather. And with your Would You Rathers for us, here is Big Sizz.
Well, guys, the 70s was a decade of scary movies. A lot of scary movies came out in those 10 years. Would you rather have your life based on The Exorcist or The Omen?
Ooh, what's the difference?
I'd rather be able to turn my head all the way around.
So you have to be Linda Blair in this one? Does she get better? Or did she die? I don't
well,
remember.
Well, I mean, spoiler alert.
I got better.
I don't know. Does she get better?
I don't know. I'm going to go with The Exorcist also. The Omen's terrifying.
So, you know, The Exorcist, the origin of the story happened here.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
That's awesome. That is really awesome. I feel like being possessed would just be terrible.
It really started here? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It happened here.
Not here at the station, here in St. Louis.
Here?
Yeah. But, you know, would you rather be possessed yourself or have a demon child?
I think I'd rather be possessed myself.
I agree with that.
Having a demon child. I don't like any of these, like the kids are possessed movies. I hate them.
It's terrible. And
even though people say they're not scary, I don't like any of the movies where the dolls are possessed either.
That's not good either.
Annabelle is one that's out right now. The previews scare the crap out of me.
Yeah, the hell with that.
I got too many toy dolls around the house with my daughter. I don't need that. I don't need to come down the stairs and freak out.
Now you got to look at them suspiciously all the time.
Give them the side eyes. Like, I know you weren't there.
I'd rather just be possessed myself. You're just a little bit angrier.
And
what's
you
the
don't
big deal?
Know.
Yeah, I'm just mad. I can live with that.
Overcome with anger.
Yeah.
Been there.
Would you're possessed. Maybe it's not anything else, buddy.
Could be.
Would you rather have no friends at all or all of your friends are jerks?
Well, all my friends are already jerks, so.
Yeah, if all my friends are jerks, that means that I chose them anyhow.
Right.
And I probably fit in, so I'm going with that.
I'm going to go with the jerky friends, too.
I already got that life. It's easy.
Okay. You can try to turn them into nice people.
Nah, though that doesn't work.
Yeah, they're the worst.
Yeah, they are the worst.
So earlier in the show, we talked about the ice cream lickers, people who are licking ice cream and putting it back into the freezer.
Life in jail.
Ugh.
Murder. Kill.
Would you rather?
Something that never happens at Fritz's, by the way.
Exactly. No.
Any of the five area locations.
Would you rather eat ice cream that somebody licked and put back, or use mouthwash that somebody gargled and spit back in the container?
Give me the ice cream every time.
Ice cream for sure.
Yeah, gargled is different than licked, and ice cream's delicious. So I'm going with that.
Although the mouthwash probably has, it's probably alcohol-based, so it's going to kill whatever's in there. But still, it's the thought of it being inside somebody else's mouth and then back in the bottle.
Yeah, gargling is a very personal thing.
It is extremely personal. You're right about that. A little too familiar.
Would you rather never be able to use toothpaste or toilet paper?
I think I'm going to go toothpaste just for the thing that we just talked about in mouthwash. So you could still brush with water and then utilize some mouthwash, and I think you're okay. No toilet paper is going to be tough.
Yeah. Well, no.
Unless you know how to use the seashell.
Toilet paper, I'm getting a bidet. If I can't use toilet paper, I'll just get one of those bidets.
What if you got a deuce at work?
I'll
run home.
I'll have one installed.
Be the guy from American Pie.
You can't do it in public. You can. They have. You don't have to have like a one of those full bidets that are attached to the wall. They have ones that you can install in your own toilet.
Is that right?
So I'll just bring one to work.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. Mike Ryder's got one. It's portable.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He's going to need it after that trip to Mexico.
You get some good use out of it today, buddy?
Yeah. Since we're getting personal with Ryder, he had just a small cutie orange today. That's all his poor little tummy could handle
buddy.
After eating street tacos in Mexico City?
Taking Imodium?
The last day. He's like, you know what? Let's branch out. Let's try some of the local fare. Oh, my God!
Right before you get on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
Good thinking.
Good to have you back, Mike.
You guys remember the movie Tremors?
Yeah, I love that
1990s
Kevin
movie.
Bacon.
Kevin Bacon,
yeah,
that's right.
Would you rather be eaten by a snake, anaconda maybe, or eaten by a tremor?
Tremor,
it's going to be faster.
Yeah, they rip people apart. By the way, I saw its previews for a newer, I guess, scary movie. I think it's called, like, Swamp or The Swamp, where it's, like, these, like, crocodiles, killer crocs. That seemed kind of awesome. I can get behind something like that.
I would watch that, yeah.
You don't want to get eaten by one.
No. But as far as, like, scary movies go, that's more down my alley than, like, a possessed kid.
Would you rather have a funny bone all over your body or wake up every single day and have your limbs be numb for the first 3 hours?
3 hours you're totally numb?
Ooh.
Just your limbs.
Yeah, but that's, you can't walk. If everything's numb, you'll crumble.
Do some sit-ups.
For 3 hours, you're going to do sit-ups.
Be in awesome shape.
I guess you have to pick that because there's some normalcy to it instead of your whole body being a funny bone.
Yeah, that'd be kind of weird. Although you have to hit your funny bone pretty hard, right?
Yeah, and in the right spot.
Which would be everywhere.
Yeah, I'll take the funny bone. No, because in order for your funny bone to, it's just like one particular spot with a nerve. So that's what I'm assuming it would be like all over your body.
Okay, well then I'll go funny bone also. I'll take that.
Couple of movie stars that got their start in the 1970s. Whose career would you rather have? John Travolta or Sylvester Stallone?
Travolta. I think I'm going with...
Even though he's weird.
He is weird. Stallone, because he wrote, right? And so he's still, I'm sure, getting, residual royalties.
I just want to be known as Rambo and Rocky. So I'm going with Stallone here.
And he never really had like a downturn in his career. Travolta was useless
Travolta
for a while.
Travolta won an Academy Award, though.
He did.
Rocky got
Tarantino
screwed.
Brought him back.
Same topic. Clint Eastwood or John Wayne?
Clint Eastwood.
Who's career?
I'm going Clint Eastwood also. Yeah, not familiar with John Wayne as much.
Did John Wayne write his stuff? Who? Or did he produce any of it?
Who?
John Wayne.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Clint Eastwood's a director and everything.
And last one, would you rather eat a handful of leeches or maggots?
Leeches.
Yeah, no doubt.
Leeches.
Yeah.
Yep. Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
There's your producer, Brad Barnes. BT.
Yeah, what should I watch tonight?
Oh.
Oh, derby time.
Ranj.
Guys, I hope you have a great night. I'm going to go home and make dinner for myself. That's not nice. Come on.
Great to have our board operator, the great Mike Ryder, back. And we appreciate you tuning in, texting in, and being a part of the show. Don't forget the Home Run Derby coming up tonight and the MLB All-Star Game tomorrow night here on 101 ESPN. For all of us, thanks for tuning in, texting in, being a part of the show. And until tomorrow at 3, good night, St. Louis.